Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and this is program number 436. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free, including the postage and handling. We have a lot of Bible scriptures. I only wish that we had about a three-hour program, like I sometimes do with Greg Szymanski. We have 2 hours with him. But we've got some testimonies, we've got music, and we have a strong message from the Lord. That's the main thing. Amen?
Amen.
Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, there is a life that can be expressed in us that is identical to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is you, Father, with the Jesus with the Father by the Spirit living in us. And this is the kind of life that you have determined for us from before the foundation of the world. We're not to imitate the life of your Son, Christ Jesus. We're not to pretend or act out the life, but we're to give up our life on the cross. Our life is to be crucified with Christ on the cross and then resurrected by the life of Christ in us to live it. I pray, Lord God, that your word tells us to pray that you would rebuke Satan for us in every aspect. He's attacking us in Arkansas, in Los Angeles, in New Jersey, in all over the world. Father, in all our churches and many other wonderful Christians' churches throughout the world. Lord, we ask that you rebuke the devil, stop him. We pray that the people that are doing these things will be saved, but if they don't, Lord, we pray that you'll deal with them your way, as you mention in the Bible. Father, I pray that you will take over this program and make it your program, that souls will be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now here's a song that I sang with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. They have a little solo in here, and I really love the way they sing. And I love singing with gospel groups. If there's any well-known gospel groups out there that would like to sing with me, we'll go in and do an album right quick. And we pay good. Amen. Amen. So how long has it been by myself and J.D. Sumner and the Stamps?
Since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secret, how long since you prayed, how long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through. Since your mind felt at ease, how long since your heart knew no burden, and you called him your friend, how long has it been since you knew that he cared? How long
since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through. How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and prayed that the day is worth living?
And you called him your friend. How long has it been since you knew?
Has it been
since you knew that he cared for you?
Praise the Lord. Well, now the Lord tells us that he removed the very fundamental ground of our weakness, and our weakness is that it's I, or ourselves. When he states in the Word through the Apostle Paul that our old man is nailed to the cross, that means that the flesh, or the carnal I, God struck that very root of our trouble by removing the fundamental ground of our weakness. This was the first step, but still the ordinance of the law remained to be fulfilled by us. By us? No. We can't do anything without Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The will of the Lord, or the law, the ordinance of the law, remains to be fulfilled in us. Amen?
Amen.
Christ has to really be living in us, and this is by the Lord. We are not capable of doing anything ourselves. How could this be done? Okay, can you answer that? What it does is it requires God's further provision of the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. It is He who is sent to take our place. He's our substitute. This is a follow-up on yesterday's message. He substituted for us on the cross, and then he substitutes our life. He wants our old life nailed to the cross, and for him to live within us, substituting, getting rid of our old life, because there isn't anything that we can do that's of any value whatsoever anyway. So he wants to live in and through us. He wants to do his work in and through us. It was he who was sent to take care of the inward side of this matter, or this doing, or this thing, meaning this life that he wants to live out in us. And he is able to do so. He has the ability, and only he has the ability and the power to do it. We are told, as we quote, walk, dot, 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 after the Spirit, unquote, walk after the Spirit. What does it mean to walk after the Spirit? Well, what it means is two different things. First, it is not a work, it is a walk. Now, you can't work at it and do a work of the Lord if you're trying to do it on yourself. You're so dead set, most people are so dead set on themselves, that there isn't anything that can be done unless you do it, or, you know, the I in you does it. But praise the Lord. The burdensome and fruitless effort that I involved myself with, and when I sought to do good, Paul says in the flesh, to please God, gives place to quite a quiet and restful dependency on, quote, his working, which worketh in me mightily. Colossians 1:29. That is why Paul contrasts the, quote, works, unquote, the works of the flesh, with the fruit, quote, fruit of the Spirit. Now, we have a spirit in us, but that spirit is dead without the Spirit of God living in us. Galatians 5:19-22. And then secondly, to, quote, walk after, unquote. This implies subjection. In other words, we have to subject ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Walking after. If I say walk after me, that means you're subject to me, right?
Right.
You are, like, I'm a king and you're my subject. Walk after me. Do what I do, in other words. So this is your subject. You're subject unto me if I were a king. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the Lord said he made me a king and a priest, and you too, as long as you walk, quote, walk after him. Walk after him implies subjection. You have to subject yourself unto the Holy Spirit. Not just the Word, because the Word, even though it's spirit and life, a lot of people say, I'm going to imitate that Word. I'm going to do what it says. No, you're not. You're going to know what you're supposed to do and then let it become natural in you so that you're doing what the Lord in you is wanting you to do. We have to subject ourselves. That means that it's subjective. We have to subject ourselves. It's subjective. Walking after the flesh means that I yield to the dictates of the flesh. That means you're subject unto the flesh, right?
Amen.
In other words, Satan, because the Bible says that our flesh has to be crucified because it is satanic. Our flesh is satanic, amen?
Amen.
Now the Lord gives us a new heart and he gives us a new spirit. That's what it says, amen?
Amen.
But he doesn't give us a new body. He tells us that our body has to be crucified. Amen?
Amen.
It has to die because Satan is living in the flesh. So if I yield to the dictates of the flesh, and the following verse in Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, makes clear where that leads me, right into the bowels of the pits of hell and the lake of fire. It only brings me into conflict with God. A conflict means a battle with God. A lot of people say, the devil keeps hitting me. The devil keeps hitting me. The devil keeps... Well, if you're walking in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, well, then the devil is not... you don't notice that. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's just a natural thing for you to allow the Lord to, just like breathing... You just say, I'm breathing. You know, you don't think of every second that you breathe, do you?
No.
It comes natural. And so it's the same thing when the Holy Spirit is in you. After you are exercised with the Spirit in you, then it becomes natural that the Spirit does the work into it. So we don't want to get in a battle with God, which you can't. You can never win a battle with God. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to allow your flesh to be nailed to the cross.
Amen.
Your old life. To walk after the Spirit is to be subject to the Spirit. You have to be a subject that does what the Spirit wants you to do, rather than a subject that follows what the flesh tells you to do. You have to be somebody's slave. You're either a slave to your flesh, that's what all these druggies are, or people that are into all kinds of ungodly versions of their fleshy life, or you have to be a subject to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There is one thing that the man who walks after the Spirit cannot do. And that is to be independent of God, independent of Christ. I must be subject to the Holy Spirit. He that is inside of my life must be with God. And Christ is with God. We have to be, that inside of us must be with Christ. Christ is God. Only as I yield myself to obey Him, God shall, I'm talking about God, shall I find the law of the Spirit of life. So, only as I yield myself to obey Him, or God, shall I ever be able to find the law of the Spirit of life. Then full operation and all the ordinance of the law will take place. Amen?
Amen.
All that I have been trying to do to please God being fulfilled to no longer be me, but in me. As many as are led by the Spirit, this is a quotation now from the Bible, as many people, I got a little bracket there, as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're walking after the flesh, you're sons and daughters of Satan. But if you're walking after the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. Can you find that very quickly and efficiently? How can we be victorious, righteous, holy, and perfect? First of all, we must understand clearly that God has not constituted Christ our example to be copied. Read it now.
Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Yeah, God hasn't sent Christ into the world to be an example for us to copy Him. We in the flesh cannot copy Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Christ was did what the Father told Him to do. His will was to do what the Holy Spirit wanted Him to do. God is the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Ghost. Shakespeare put Holy Ghost in there. God is not a ghost. He's the Spirit, the Great Spirit. He's not giving us His strength to help us imitate Christ. Why would He put His power Himself in us just to imitate Christ? He's not even planted Christ within us to help us to be Christians or Christ-like. Galatians 2:20 is not our standard for recording a record breaking endeavor. Read that, Galatians 2:20, please. Galatians 2:20 is not our standard for recording a record breaking endeavor. Read it.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Yeah, we have to meditate all the time. Christ is in me. I can't do anything that's good or bad because Christ never did anything bad. And we just have to let Christ live our life for us. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not I, but it's Christ in me that lives. It is not a high aim to be aspired through a long seeking the Word of God, even though we do have to seek the Word of God to find. When the Holy Spirit wants us to do something, we need to know that it's of the Lord, and we can't know unless we read the Word. But seeking the Word of God and patient progress, no, it's not that at all. It is not God's aim at all. But God's method is what's on the menu. When Paul says, quote, yet no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me, unquote, he is showing us how only Christ satisfies God's heart. Anything that we do cannot satisfy God's heart. So you can't please God in the flesh. When God sees the blood and he sees us with Christ living in us, this is the life that gives God satisfaction in we believers. And there is no substitute. Christ is the only substitute. He wants to move us out of the way. Quote, not I, but Christ, unquote, means Christ indeed. Christ indeed instead of me. Amen?
Amen.
Living and working in me. When Paul uses these words, he is not claiming to have attained something his readers have not yet reached. He is defining the Christian life. The Christian life is the Christ life living in, it's Jesus living in us. Christ in me has become my life and is living my life instead of me. It is not even that I trust him as a separate, sufficient act. No, God gives him to be my life. My life is Christ. And if you're not walking in the flesh, then Christ is living in you. All right, now we have a couple of testimonies. That's just the introduction to this heavyweight message that I've got for you this evening that the Lord has planned for you. So where's the first one from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay, let's hear what they say.
Dear Pastor Olamo, first and foremost, I would like to thank you for the work which you are doing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I would also like to thank you for your fellowship and fathering in the church through the name of Jesus. Thank you for the work you are doing in bringing souls to Christ through your newsletters and publications.
Not I, but Christ in me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They are such a blessing for us here in this part of the world where there is too much occultism, witchcraft, and traditional beliefs. I have been receiving literature, t-shirts, sweatshirts, tapes, CDs, and some radio schedules.
From us, of course. Then what?
The literature has been perfect manuals for spiritual growth and moral discipline. It gives me hope in every sector of my life and has helped me experience areas of revival in evangelism. I am truly grateful for the articles contained in the newsletters, which are soul-searching, heart-after-God, Bible-based truths. They help us in intercession prayers for the salvation of Zambian nationals in the wake of a deepening political and economic crisis. And I have found the articles strengthening, edifying, and challenging. Thank God for the literature's uncompromising doctrines, which restores hope and faith in Him and Him alone. Please send 12 t-shirts, black and white, size 2X, and please, please remember to send some more copies of your recent literature. May the Lord bless and anoint you more with His surpassing power to live and continue to bring a spiritual change to others. Yours faithfully, Daniel, from Dola, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, praise the Lord. Very good. Then what?
From Aki, Solomon Islands. Dear Pastor Tony Olamo, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was so excited that you have sent me your newsletters. I received a box of newsletters last month, and I was amazed at the changes they are bringing into the lives of people. And they even promised to serve the Lord as their personal Savior. People were so content to read the literature. Please, our friends in the village, whom we always share our gifts with and do visit them for prayer and fellowship, were so anxious to read them, and souls have been revived by reading the newsletters in the Messiah book. We will be so glad if you shall put us on your mailing list for the gospel materials. I wish to request 5 copies of the Holy Bible and any other literature to help me in my evangelistic distribution of your messages, and for friends, family members, and other interested people who want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Tony, I have seen that the hand of God is upon your life and ministry. I would like to tap into that anointing and grace that is upon your life and ministry, too. Please, I am waiting expectantly to hear and receive from you. Amen. Yours in the Lord, our soon coming King, Uziel, from Malaita Province, Aki, Solomon Islands.
Yeah, I can't see how people could live a life without being so depressed, it's unreal, without knowing that Christ is such a miracle. You know, when you feel the Lord leading and telling you what to do and where to go and so on, and then you know that you're alive because that He is alive in you. To me, if it wasn't for that, I can understand, you know, why people are doing the things that they're doing to themselves, but they need to get saved, because if they're living, as I said, according to the flesh instead of the Spirit, they're not going to. If they die suddenly, they're in hell, in the lake of fire, and they're going to be there forevermore. Now, in order to follow the new life, the new life means that your old life is over with. You're now Sabbathing in the Lord. You're coming unto Him to rest, to Sabbath. There is a law, the law that determines what that life is like in expression. It is not just that a life is present in me, the life of Christ, for if this were all that there was in regard to that, I would then have to bond and hold tightly unto that life. No, it's far more relaxing than that, because once you know, you meditate on the fact that you're now dead, you're nailed to a cross, you've taken up the cross and you've denying yourself. There is a law of that life that we must live in order for us to be saved. Romans 8:2. All right? And that law looks after itself. Go ahead, read it.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Right, so once the law, the life of Christ is in you, it does what? Read it again.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Right, so the Lord came into this world to crucify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, to nail our old man, the old life, to the cross. What it is the daily life of Christian, that the Christian is summed up in the word, quote, receive, unquote. Every challenging thing that God demands of me, such as long-suffering, meekness, humility, goodness, holiness, joy, and love, all these things, is not something that I am or something that I do. I don't do those things before I have the life of Christ in me, or some virtue that I acquired down through the years or attained to do. It is Christ in me. Actually, this powerful life living in me, each is a manifestation of Him. Let Him be revealed. Let Him be all we need for today and tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
Let Him be revealed naturally. He wants to do it. He doesn't want you to open your mouth when you're not supposed to. He doesn't want you to say you're bored with Christian living, because there isn't anything more exciting,
amen,
than Christ living in you. Believe me, I lived all kinds of life out there in the world before I became 30 years old. I went into the ministry the same age that Jesus did. He was 30 years old, and He was in the ministry for 3.5 years. I've been in the ministry for 43. And I've been in it now for 43 years. So, let Him be revealed naturally in you and spontaneously in you, and that's enough. You don't have to try, amen?
Amen.
Just stay in tune with Him. Be meditating all the time. Christ's life is in me. Christ's life is in me. How do I do that? I just quit worrying, you know? do that the same way you worry. You keep thinking about, am I going to get married to this person? Oh, God, please let me. No, just say, Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Will I have money? No, don't worry about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God living in you, which is Christ, and then all things will be added unto you. Amen?
Amen.
So it becomes spontaneous or natural, naturally supernatural and spontaneously supernatural. And that is enough. I remember a song that this woman won a contest. I used to have singing contests, and she won. It's called That's Enough. I've got my Jesus, and that's enough. I've got my Jesus, and that's enough. That's all you need is
Amen.
Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You don't need to be thinking about anybody else or anything else. Amen?
Amen.
I've got my Jesus, and that's enough. Amen.
Amen.
He is made unto us, dot, 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 unquote. He is made unto us and into us. If he were our justifier, sanctifier, and our redeemer, we could understand, but it does not say he does these things. It uses abstract nouns. He is these things. He is these things. He doesn't say he does these things. It says he is these things. If I turned you inside out and put a dog in you, and you'd live the life of a dog, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You'd be barking and running after cars and biting at the tires, right, when they're going by? That's what one of the dogs I had did. Look at first, but if you've got Christ living in you, then you just naturally do what Christ does. Amen?
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ in us meets every demand of God and every demand of whatever circumstance comes along. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, I just let Jesus handle it for me. Amen?
Amen.
If he says, don't worry about it, then I don't fret and I fast and pray. If he says, fast and pray, then I do. Okay? Something's wrong. So, whatever circumstance comes around us, it is not in us to be humble. You're not humble. Even some people that call themselves Christians are not humble. Nor shall we find it helps to trust in the power of Christ to make us humble. Why is that? Do you understand? Because Christ himself is humble. And if he's the only one alive in you, you'll have to trust in the power of Christ to make us humble. Because you're dead and Christ is automatically humble in us. But he's humble in a natural way. That's just the nature of Christ. If it was a dog in you, then you would be barking, running after cars, burying bones. Amen?
Amen.
But he's humble in a natural way. That is by his very nature. He's constituted that way. He's made up that way. And he is made to be our humility. For Christ is our everything. Even faith and trust and obedience, if we regard them as virtues by which ye attain, will prove ineffective. It is not that I just trust his word, therefore I can be a long-suffering, but it is that Christ is long-suffering in me. Amen?
Amen.
Say, praise God, amen.
Amen.
Christ is in me, and he is long-suffering and humble. Once again, this is basic, natural, simple, spontaneous, trusting implicitly that he's alive and that within you and without question, because the Father has made absolutely sufficient provision for us in Christ, in us. The operation of his life in us is, in a true sense, spontaneous. That is to say, it is without effort of ours. Oh, you think you sweat and you frown and you grimace your face up and everything? That all-important rule is not to try, but to trust. Amen?
Amen.
Not to depend upon our own strength, but upon his strength. For it is the flow of the life which reveals what we truly are in Christ. It is from the fountain of life that the sweet water issues from our belly. Too many of us are caught acting as Christians. The life of many Christians today is largely pretense. They're pretending to be Christians. They live a spiritual life, take a spiritual language, adopt a spiritual attitude, but they are doing the whole thing themselves. And they always fail. They get up during the day and they say, oh, I've got it now, I've got it locked up, and then something happens and they go completely crazy. That's the way it is. So it shows that they're just acting the whole thing themselves. It is the effort involved that should reveal to them that something is terribly wrong. They force themselves to refrain from doing this or that, from saying this or that, from eating this sort of thing or that. And now, how hard they find it all. Man, I just can't do it. It's hard to be a Christian, so I'm just going to throw in the towel. What is it? It is just the same as when we... the people in this world, they try to talk a language that is not our own language. No matter how hard we try, it does not come spontaneously. We have to force ourselves to talk that way. But when it comes to speaking our own language, like I speak English, sometimes rather crudely, but nevertheless, it's English, and I try to speak Swedish or something like that, or Hebrew, nothing could be easier if I'm speaking English. Even when we forget all about what we are doing, we can be building something with our hands, and we can still speak our own language. It isn't like what they said President Ford couldn't chew gum and walk at the same time. But we can chew gum and talk, and also we can do a job and talk. It just flows. If it's our own language, it flows. It comes to us perfectly, naturally, and it's very spontaneous. It reveals to everyone what we are. Our life is a life of Christ, meditated in us. What does that mean? When we're walking down the street, we say, Christ is in me. I don't have to get uptight at anybody. Christ is in me. If Christ makes me, says you should be angry at this, then I will be. This person is doing something as a pastor. You're supposed to reprove and rebuke. Now, do it. Start nicely. Okay, they are resisting what I'm saying. And so then he says, okay, give a little more. Rebuke them a little bit more. Warn them more. Warn them more. And so I will. And it's nothing that I do on my own. It's like a man that used to be in the church. He'd drive out into the traffic without... looking left or right, and we almost got killed a couple of times. So I warned him, and the Lord said, that's not enough. And so I said, now look, and he said, that's not enough. I rebuked him about four or five times, and the Lord said, that's not enough. Take him off driving. So I did. And I told his wife, D, look, if you let him drive anymore, you're the driver now from now on. She says, okay. And I, Lord told me she's not going to do it. Well, they wound up, she's paralyzed in a wheelchair now, and he's gone crazy. And if he's even still alive, this is years ago. Our life is the life of Christ, meditated in us by the indwelling Spirit. We have to meditate on that Christ is in us. You can't just say he is. You have to know that he is. In order for you to know that he's living in you, you have to meditate on it all the time. Amen?
Amen.
To keep, that is what it means to pray without ceasing and pray always. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, that is himself in the law of the life of Christ, is spontaneously living in you, and the law of that life is spontaneous. Spontaneous. Well, if I know that I'm supposed to meditate on that all the time, well, then I can stay out of trouble. Amen?
Amen.
The moment we see that fact, we shall end our struggling and cast away our pretense, your phoniness. Nothing is so hurtful to the life of a Christian as trying to act like a Christian. Nothing is so blessed as when our outward efforts cease and our attitudes become normal or natural. This is naturally Christ in me, spontaneous in me. When our words, our prayers, our very life all become a spontaneous and unforced expression of the life within us, have we discovered how good the Lord is? Have we? Have we discovered how good the Lord is? Then in us, he is as good as that. Is his power great? Is that a question? Then in us, it is no less great. If Christ is great, then in us, he's great. Amen?
Amen.
In us, he's great. He's just as great in us as the Bible says he is. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
His life is as mighty as ever. And in the lives of those who dare to believe the word of God, the divine life will be manifested in a power not one whit less mighty than was manifested in Christ in the Bible over 2,000 years ago. Quote, "For to me to live is Christ." For to me to live, and I meditate on this, O Lord, is you, Christ. Philippians 1:21. Get it quickly. Does this verse say, like Christ? No. Does it say, imitate Christ? Again, no. Does it say, taking Christ as the role model and following him? No. Once again, it says that for me to live is Christ in me. Go ahead and read it.
For to me to live is Christ.
Yeah, not like Christ. It says is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Read it again.
For to me to live is Christ.
Not to imitate Christ, does it say?
No.
What does it say?
For me to live is Christ.
Does it say to have our Christ to be our role model?
No.
No, it to live is Christ in me. Amen?
Amen.
Living really in me. Amen?
Amen.
So once again, it says for me to live is Christ. For me to live. Because my life is on the cross. It is absolutely impossible to maintain the life of Christ if you imitate it, if it's imitated by you. And it is completely useless trying to be like imitate Christ. Though we are able to read the Bible and pray and live a good life. If our life is wrong, if our living will likewise be wrong, nothing is wrong with our aspiring, weeping, and repenting before God, and for us to say to Him, O God, I really want to obey You. No, what is wrong with us is simply that our life is wrong. God not only appointed Christ to die at Calvary for us, but also makes Him our life. But you have to make Him that way. You have to meditate on that. Your heart has to say, Christ is my life, all day. There are at least four separate occasions recorded in the four Gospels where the Lord Jesus called His disciples to deny their soul life, deliver it to death, and then to follow Him. The Lord fully recognizes that this is the norm for any, you know, Christian, believer. It's the absolute same norm for people who desire to follow Him and to be perfect like Him. In serving men and in obeying God, the Lord Jesus mentions the soul life in all these calls, yet He places different emphases upon each one of them. Since soul life can express itself in various ways, the Lord stresses a different aspect each time. Anyone who would be a disciple of the Lord must give close attention to what He said. He is summoning men to commit their natural life to the cross. The cross and social affections. Quote, he who does not take the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. In other words, they cannot be my disciples. He who finds his, quote, soul life, in other words, who finds his life, that means the flesh life, will lose it. And he who loses his flesh life, for my sake, will find it. Matthew 10, 38, and 39. These verses become a beckoning light to us to relinquish our soul life and hand it over to the cross for the Lord's sake and for our sake. The Lord Jesus explains how a man's foes shall be those of his household, how the son for the sake of the Lord shall be torn away from his father. The same thing with the daughter from her mother, and the same thing for the daughter-in-law from her mother-in-law. This constitutes a cross. And the cross denotes being crucified. It is our natural inclination to cherish our beloved ones. We are happy to listen to them and for us to be willing to respond to their bidding. But our Lord and Savior Jesus calls us to not rebel against God because of our beloved ones. Because if God is not first in your life, your beloved ones will not even be saved. If you make Jesus number one in your life, well, then your loved ones have a chance of being saved. All right, they won't even pay any attention to the gospel if you side in with them rather than God. When the desire of God and the desire of man are in conflict, we must, for the Lord's sake and for our own sake and for the sake of our loved ones, take up our cross by committing our fleshy, soulful affection to death. Even though the person we love is dear to us, and even though under ordinary circumstances we would be most reluctant to hurt them or her, him or her. The Lord Jesus beckons us in this way so that we may be purified from our natural love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. Our natural love is just the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
It is for this reason that he therefore declares that, quote, the one who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37. Quote, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's Luke 14:26. This is all Bible, folks. You know, you may say this is evil and that's why you want to call us a cult and everything, but this is God, and you better listen to God if you want to go to heaven instead of the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you know, if they're serving the Lord, our brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers, and everything, that's just, that's a bonus, amen?
Amen.
Matthew shows us in a matter of affection how believers are to choose loving the Lord first. Loving the Lord, again, is the keeping of God's commandments. That's love. And first, rather than one's family, well, Luke signifies their attitude must be maintained towards the love which arises from our soul, our flesh life. Some people might say we ought to hate it, but we must hate it. We must, not ought, but must hate it, okay? Strictly speaking, we are not to love just because they're objects of our affections or those whom we would naturally love. Dear and near as parents, brothers, sisters, wives, and children are to us, they are listed among the forbidden if you're going to choose them rather than the Lord. Amen? Because the Lord is your life.
Amen.
Okay, and also their life. And if they see that that God is more important, that Christ is more important than them, then they'll start respecting him. Such human love flows from a soulish or fleshy type of life. This is why so many people hate the gospel, is because of messages just like this, which is incorporated in the Word of God. But if people will do it, you'll see that your loved ones will get saved. My time is up. I always want to complete these messages, but we'll take this up tomorrow with another powerful message from the Lord. But right now, do you love the Lord? If not, well, then there's no hope for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't love somebody that you can't see. So once you're saved, well, then you can see the Word of God, and you'll start loving the Lord. And, you know, it's very unprofitable for you not to love the Lord. But let's first get saved, and you'll see that these things will come to pass. You'll actually have Christ in you, and you'll see then how easy it is for you to live the life, for Christ to live his life in you. So start up, and don't be obstinate, because that's just like cutting off your nose to spite your face. I don't like the way my face is, God. I'm going to cut my nose and ears off, even my lips. No, don't do that. That wouldn't be very wise for you, would it, for you to wind up in hell in the lake of fire. Let's say the prayer. Father, say it this way. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that, God, you raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. Okay, now praise and thank the Lord. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord, unless you're driving. Pull over to the side first. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now share and tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of program number 436. It's absolutely free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from God Almighty Himself. Right now, this is J.D. Sumner, the Stamps, and myself to sing for you, I, John.
Well, and I, John, saw a mighty number. In the middle of the air, I just saw a mighty number. Way in the middle of the air, the mighty will, I just saw a mighty number. Way in the middle of the air, I just saw a mighty number. Way in the middle of the air, when there were three gates in the east, there were three gates in the west. Three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, four square wide. Hallelujah, come the mighty will, I chant, so mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, I chant, so mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, oh, John declared, saw a man with 12 stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. As he got the gospel gun like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, "John, take a look. But you see them there right above. I saw 12 angels in the east, 12 angels in the west, 12 angels in the north, 12 angels in the south, 48 angels to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, the mighty God of the Lord, so mighty God. Way up in the middle of the air, like John, so mighty God.